Hello, everybody. This is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. And this is going to be a chat about building a personal team and an advisory team. And I'm going to start out with a disclaimer of liability. I usually forget about that till I'm halfway through. But here we go. The material and information contained on this website is for general information purposes only. You should not rely upon the material or information on the website as a basis for making any business, legal, or other decisions. While I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or the audio file and the information, product, services, or related graphics contained on the website or in the audio file for any purpose. Any reliance you place on such materials, therefore, strictly at your own risk. Yay, I got my disclaimer of liability done. So anyway, I am from RV Project Help, and I have a background in high wealth clients, and I have been very wealthy, lost it all, very wealthy, lost it all because of the industry I was in. So I have a lot of experience in what I'm talking to you about, and my goal in every one of these audio files is to help you get the best rates you can get and get the most information you can possibly have before you RV, so that you can literally walk in there with the highest level of confidence, knowing that you absolutely got this. My goal is to make sure that the deep state can never do any kind of humanitarian projects in the future. We're all trying to do lifetime generational wealth, like 100 years or more. So I hate these dirty, dirty buggers so bad that I am doing everything I can to get anybody who's asking for help as much information as possible so they can get the most money, the highest rates, and do the best job in the world that they can for their humanitarian project. I really feel like the people that are here are, I mean, you're not here by chance. I believe that God touched your heart, and that's why you are learning about being a humanitarian and going to step up and take this big, huge mantle of responsibility and run with it. So, on to the topic. So, before you build your dream team, the dream starts with you, okay? And every time people get started on a massive project, they don't start with themselves. And you really have to start with yourself. And right now, you've got a lot of time to learn these steps. You have to cultivate a growth mindset. You have to cultivate your mind so that you are ready to take on these massive responsibilities. And the thing is, when you're newly rich, the other rich people, they don't help you at all. They laugh at you because you don't know nothing and you fall on your face financially, and it's kind of funny for them. And once you get wealthy and the new ones come up, you'll do the same thing. It's kind of the ritual that the very wealthy go through. It's ironic and maddening, but it's what happens, okay? So it usually takes a few years for a new wealthy person to figure out how to cultivate a growth mindset. And it's because, you know, when lottery winners, I don't know what the percentages are. I think it's over 50% of lottery winners. I think it's actually higher than that. They lose all their money in 4 to 5 years. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's going to be so bad, blah, blah, blah. No, it's actually part of the perfect plan. Because if there's going to be people that get wealth that don't know how to do wealth management, they don't know anything about how to keep that wealth, so they'll blow through it like a freight train. Well, that's okay too, because We need, we meaning the world, the global world, we need funds. So if there's a few of the people that got a lot of money for humanitarian ship spend their money wildly, that's putting cash in their local economy. And that's actually helping their local economy. Yes, the guy that won the money or the, did the RV, he's not really doing his quote project because his project actually becomes funding, putting cash into the system. So you want to get yourself ready for this wealth. You want to get yourself, your mindset ready to start thinking about not one location, but three or four locations. How do you change your mindset from I'm a normal Joe to I'm a, international global humanitarian project? That's a huge leap of faith, okay? That's a huge change in your mindset. So it's funny, Slick is in here, and this is so funny because a lot of what I'm about to say, Slick already does this, and I suck at this. So he's going to be over there laughing, I'm pretty sure. So I don't do a lot of these things right now. I'm going to be honest with you because I'm not in a growth mindset right now. I'm in a mindset of hurry, 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 get all these things written for people. So I'm not doing some of these things, but I absolutely will very, very soon, as soon as we take off. Okay, so how do you get things done? How do you become the best version of yourself? There's things that you can do that will change your mind to focus better and to think wider, okay? It's something you have to do with you practice it, okay? And when you focus on growth and you focus on your personal growth, you get way more skills than just imp you get way more out of it than just improving your skill set. Okay. It, when you change your mind, you change your heart, and you change the way you do everything. I used to be a really not good boss because I was not focusing on a growth mindset. I was focusing on how do I keep the balls in the air, because when you don't have enough money to fund the bigger steps, the next steps in your company, your focus changes. You guys are going to have all the money you need. It's your money. So once you take away that concern of how do I get money for the next part, then you can focus on growing. So there's some things that you can do that will actually really change your mind, okay? People will tell you, my mentor tells me to journal. Journal, journal, journal. That way, and go back and read it, and whether you don't read it, whatever, it's there and it shapes your perspective, okay? When you write about your successes, when you write about your plans, every single thing that you do comes from a spoken word, a thought pattern that becomes a spoken word, that becomes action, that becomes a reality, okay? We are vibrational humans. And I thought up until very re just recently that, good vibes. I didn't realize that they actually meant we vibrated. So this is a woo-woo thing that I'm having personal difficulties grasping with, but it's more connected than I thought. And your words and your heart are very, very connected. And instead of just writing down, oh, this is what I did today, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, I write down three things, sometimes 10 things, just depending on how many things I got that day, that I'm really grateful for. And by doing this, what I'm actually doing is I'm focusing on all the good things in my life, the good things that have helped the company do well, help me do well, whatever I'm grateful for. Now, when you write down things you're grateful for in times when things are really bad, it has a way of not allowing your mind to wallow in all the doom and gloom. You're literally picking yourself up by your bootstraps when you write down the things you're grateful for, because it sets your mind in a feel good, real good place. Okay, I'm actually grateful for whatever it is. Now write it down. I used to write like a page or two, and I realized it wasn't doing any different other than writing two or three sentences of what I was grateful for. And getting into that habit, it fosters a sense of optimistic approaches to everything you do. And when you think about, hey, this is great in my life, this is what I want to do in my life, I'm doing a good job doing this, that gives you confidence. And sometimes confidence is all it takes to take steps into the areas that you're not familiar with. All of these things have to change in your mind so that you can become comfortable with the kind of money that you're about to receive. Journaling is free. It's easy, and it can actually make you a lot happier. The next thing you should do is to reduce stress in your life. In order for you to go forward, you have to have a free path where your brain is not thinking about, worrying about stuff, okay? So, I don't really meditate. I do something that I think is meditation. And when I told somebody, this is how I meditate, they laughed at my face. It's like, well, you meditate your way, I'm going to meditate mine. And I meditate by sitting on the beach and letting my mind relax to the sound of the waves and thinking about all the good things, thinking about what a great day I'm going to have, letting my mind wander into different parts. And when I do that, I kind of find the inner person of who I am, and it gives me more clarity about what I'm trying to do. Now, that's not the way to meditate. I don't know how everybody meditates, but that's not the way for everybody. So I just use the word meditate, but it's do something that causes you to have introspection of your life, okay? Exercise. In order to think big thoughts, you have to have blood flow. You have to feed your brain. If you feed your brain, you can feed your psyche. You have to be able to think well. So if you get your blood flow going, then you do better in work. Now, when I when I'm rolling, I usually have some place in my facility that has exercise, some kind of exercise. I had one company that we had all these dodgeballs, these big rubber balls, and people could go in there and play with big rubber balls and kick them around. It was so fun. And
I told my staff, hey, whenever you get having a rough time and you get a stuff part, just get up, go do some physical activity, because moving releases endorphins. And if you're stuck with a project and you can't think, you can't find your way out of it mentally, if you can release endorphins, then your mental clarity will immediately sharpen. So I always, like, I had a swimming pool. When I was going to interview people or I was going to do something stressful, I would take a swim before I would go do that stuff. For some people, hey, they might want to, have a batting cage and take a couple hits of the bat. You might want to play a paddle ball or something with yourself. Whatever it is that you can do, a quick little physical activity before you go do something important or leave for something important, you would be amazed at how much clarity of mind you have when you're in these business negotiations or when you're talking with these high profile people that on subjects that you're just learning about. It allows you to be able to absorb more information because your brain is on firing on all cylinders. This gets important when you're doing your interview for your CEO, because you've never done it before. A lot of people freeze. So by having that extra boost of endorphins in your brain, it makes everything click easier when you're trying to do big projects. So one of my other audios, I always carry a briefcase. And in my briefcase is whatever documents I'm working on. But more importantly, what's in my briefcase is my book. I always, always, always have a book in my briefcase. I learn whatever it is. My book that I have is always is how to do something or something I want to learn. Sometimes those things have to do with the business I'm doing. Sometimes those things have to do just with personal enjoyment, because I might have read a book before then that was all about business and I'm really like blown out on that. I want to have some kind of better up level, fun thing to learn. But I always have a book or something that is going to cause learning wherever I go. When I have to sit, because I mean, some of these places, they think your time is worthless and they'll make you sit waiting forever. So I pull out my book, whatever it is, and I start reading whatever I'm trying to learn. If you do this continuous learning, there's a thing in your brain called dendrites, and they grow when you learn new things. And dendrites, every time you grow new dendrites, it activates every other part of your brain and it allows you to have clarity and bigger thoughts and think faster. And you want all that kind of activity. Like I would do all this stuff the day before I'm going to meet my wealth team. I would always, always take a swim. What is that thing? Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I had a boxing bag, and sometimes I would just do like 10 minutes of boxing. And that adrenaline rush is just amazing what it does for when you're going to go in and talk, because I could definitely, definitely tell a difference when I didn't do it versus when I did do it. So you want to have some kind of activity or some thing, event, that you can have people around you that challenge your ideas. So you want to get into a group where, like Toastmasters, I love Toastmasters because they have a lot of interesting dialogue, and most of the people that are there are really interesting people as well. So your mind gets stretched and challenged by the different speeches that they talk about, different ideas, and those new ideas, those new thoughts, they often trigger other th ways of thinking that will help you with business. So, endorphins are great too. Okay. How do you get endorphins? You step out of your comfort zone. We're all about to do that. So when you do these bold kind of things, don't be afraid. Don't fear failure, okay? You're going to fail at something. It's inevitable. And if you don't fail, you're doing something wrong. You're not trying hard enough. You are gonna fail at something and embrace it, okay? It is not a sign of weakness. Failure is not a sign of weakness. It is a powerful, powerful teacher that will impart all kinds of valuable lessons that you can't get unless you fail. So be bold, okay? Work with your team, work with your CEO, do the best you can because you're walking into complete areas that you've never been before. And that can be very intimidating for people, but I'm going to tell you what you will get from this, like I tell people, starting a new company, a multi-million dollar company, is the most exciting, terrifying, wonderful, frightening thing, amazing thing you'll ever do in your life. Embrace it all because you only get this once. You're only going to get one first time, and it can be amazing if you accept it or and are ready for it, or it can run you over like a steamroller. And the way it runs you over is you don't accept the fact or you don't embrace the challenge of it. So accept, hold on to it. It's going to be a great ride, okay? Another thing you want to do to get yourself ready to do business is to plan, okay? The thing you're going to lose the most in your life when you become wealthy is time, okay? This type of big company, it could suck all of your time. So you have to plan to use your wealth management company. You have to plan for your steps that you're going to take forward. And even if you do a to-do list or a planner and you're wrong, it's okay. You're thinking and you're doing exercising and planning. This is a muscle that you have to flex to before you learn how to do it. These preliminary steps of planning, because you've got a wealth management team to help you. So you write down your planning stuff, and then when you meet with your wealth management team, how am I doing? Look at these plans. Am I doing the right way? They'll help you assess which ones are more important, which ones are more urgent, which ones need your attention now, which can be done later. And part of learning how to manage this kind of wealth is learning how to plan your future so that you can be successful at it. And that takes time to learn. Man, I'm talking so much, my throat is so dry. One of the things that I'm such a hypocrite about this. You have to learn to receive positive compliments and affirmations. And I truly suck at this. I am not good at accepting compliments. But you have to receive and believe the compliments you get. You have to receive and believe that you're doing self-talk about your affirm what you're doing is good. I can do this. I can do this. That is the most strongest thing you can do. Repeating self-affirm positive affirmations. If you think it, you speak it, you do it. So what you say you can do has an amazing impact on what you actually are able to do, what your actions are able to do. And these positive things that you say, that changes your mindset to grow. I can do it. I can do it. That's a growth mindset. I can't do it is a death mindset. And so you've got to tell yourself that you can do it because you've never done it before. So build your self-confidence from within, okay? One of the things that happens with people that have high wealth in and have very pressing organizations is they get so involved with what they're doing that they don't take a break. They don't take a break from anything. Like, I've had people start out, I've had clients start out where they're saying, no, I'm going to hire a wealth manager, I'm going to do all this other stuff. And they end up not doing that. They end up totally focused on their computers and their charts and their documents and everything that these different people send. The more that you engage with your CEO and your wealth management team on the off hours, the more you teach them that that's okay for them to engage with you. No, it's not okay. You need to stand firm in Tuesday's our day or whatever day your day is, and your time is from this time, and they need to stay to pay attention to those hours and being fully present in those hours and not get into the habit of sending you information all week long because that's not your agreement. Now, if you're going to start and run it and do that, that's a whole different other thing. Okay. You have to take breaks from what you're doing if you're going to do this more than one day a week. Okay. This may also be so intent for you that you end up working privately on this because you've talked to your wealth management team and they said, hey, how do you want to handle this next situation? And you have to tell them what you want, and you can ask them for guidance, but you're going to want to have a think about it because this is your humanitarian project. And so I've seen what happens. I've seen clients that get so concerned about making a decision, they spend the whole week instead of with their family, they spend their whole week researching whatever this project is, this concern is, or this decision they have to make, and they don't spend as much time with their family. So you have to disconnect. You have to disconnect from all of that stuff to relax your mind so that you can get into the positive mindset of doing what you need to go further. If you push yourself too hard, you end up losing all of it. So don't get lost in the minutia of trying to figure out things. If they're asking you for everything that your wealth management team asks you, whatever they ask you for, if you don't know what it is or you don't know how to do it, don't do it on your own. That's not going to help you. Tell your wealth management team, hey, I don't know how to do this best decision. Can you do a study on it or give me a report on it? You lean on your wealth management team. They're there to make you successful. So don't focus on all that kind of stuff if it's something that it's not that important. Your wealth management team can do it for you. And then after they siphon through all the flotsam and jetsam, you can get to the heart of the matter and make a decision on one or two things rather than having to start from ground zero. Now, one of the things that is really, really important is in that document that I just walked you guys through, the pitch document for the RV. I always ask, have you write, what are you going to do year one, year two, year three, if you can get year three in there? But what you're doing is in that area of your pitch is you have set goals, and they want to hear that you've got goals, but you also want to put these things in your mind of what you're going to do, because if you can speak it, you can do it. And if you don't come up with these goals, you can't cultivate your vision. You have an idea, but you can't flesh it out into an actual thing. So by setting goals, it gives you a path of what you're going to do next. And then you set the goals. You don't have to rely on the goals. You set the goals, you call your wealth management team and say, hey, on Tuesday afternoon when we meet, I want to show you my goals for this company. Can you go over them with me to see if they're correct or give me advice on it? So that's another thing that will help your mind get ready for handling this kind of wealth. I think one of the last things would be giving yourself a break when things go wrong. I drove myself into the dirt, berating myself when I made a mistake. And it was the silliest thing ever because when you don't have self-compassion, you end up beating yourself up instead of looking for the successes. If you look for the successes and accept that you had the flaw or the failure and you have compassion for yourself, you bounce back faster and you learn from it in ways that you wouldn't learn from if you weren't compassionate with yourself. A lot of people beat themselves up forever when they have a flaw or a failure. Just you have to understand and accept that that's a normal part of business and that mistakes are how you learn. Mistakes are the best college education you can get. So don't be afraid of failing. Don't have hard judgment about yourself. And start cultivating these different things to change in your life and start doing, because that'll help you build your brain to run one of these massive companies or these massive humanitarian projects. So you have time to start doing that now, so that when you get ready to actually hire your wonderful, amazing advisory team, that you make the best choices possible because you're getting blood flow to your brain. You're doing things that open your mind to think better, think more deeply, so that when you make these decisions of who you're going to hire to be your CEO or your dream team, you're coming with the best possible equipment in you in your head to make these kind of decisions. There are rules in business that they don't ever tell you about, okay? If you want to go far, you go together. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go where very few men have gone before you, then you build a dream team. Okay? And you're going to need all your faculties. That's why I start this conversation out with talking about building your brain, is you're going to need everything you got to do this. And once you built your dream team, everything literally begins to fly. It's just amazing. So who do you pick? How do you pick? Okay. I'm talking to you about picking a CEO that, getting along with that person and doing the kind of interview where you have a physical phase of your interview. So you see if the guy's good or not to hang out with, to work with on a one-to-one basis. A lot of people, when they first start hiring people, they try to hire people just like themselves. Because I want to hire somebody just like me so we can get along, so we can get work done, okay? The problem is, if you need someone to do what you do while you're working on somebody else, working on another part of the project, you're not looking for a team player. You're looking to outsource your work. So If that's your goal, then you're not building a dream team, okay? You want to have an organization working with you where each person in that organization brings something unique to the table. And where that person has a strength, that might be your weakness, and vice versa. And you do that across the whole group. Because you're going to have some people in your group that are, they're computer wizards, they're crypto wizards, they're extremely smart with computers. And then you're going to have other people that are just off the charts creative. Some people can get stuff done immediately. Their goal is to get things done down and dirty and fast as possible. And then there's other team members that will drive you freaking nuts because they'll be so fixed on details. They'll like make sure that there's enough spaces between sentences. I mean, they're super, super analytical. And I'm a creative. I just like go away. That's not me. So I try to find somebody that's going to complement my assets. Not be my clone, okay? You want to have synergy. You want to have a feeling that your team is powerful and that they can collectively, as a group, solve problems from all different kinds of angles. So you want your equals, somebody who is your equal, but in a different skill set. And when you have all those skill sets covered and you've got the best and you've got a good, it becomes a living animal. I mean, it starts to have a mind of itself. It's so awesome to have a dream team. It's so awesome. I've been lucky, 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 lucky to have experienced that several times in my life where there's no one in my inner circle, my three-letter suite. There's no one that's a slouch. You know that every single person that is around you is makes you stronger and better when you work together. And if you don't feel like this person or that person is making you stronger and better together, then that's not the right person for you. The real dream team is, how do I say this? You want a team that everyone is not the same. Because if they are the same, they cannot be stronger than the strongest member. A dream team is stronger when they're together than when they're apart. You want to have part of the reason why I talked to you about taking the CEO out and having a lunch with him and having a physical activity with him is because it's not, they're going to put in front of you really, really, really skilled individuals. And what you're looking for is not just if you can get along with them, you're also looking at their mindset. And the way they think is often far more important than their skill set. And so what happens is a new person to business, they pay attention to their degrees and this and that, but that's not what you need to pay attention to. Because in the real world, when you're running a major organization, every problem with all of your staff is going to come down to two things. Either it's a skill issue or a know-how issue. They either don't know how, they don't know what it is to do, or they don't know how to do it. They don't have the skills to do it. Like they don't have enough practice. I know how to build a Japanese samurai sword. I've read all the information. I can tell you how to do it, but I don't have the skill set to do it physically. I have to hire somebody to do it. You see the differences? A skill issue, means you don't have the ability to solve, fix, or improve whatever you're trying to do. A skill issue may be physical, may be mental, may be lo or it's learned previous learning. Once you get on top of this, hard skills like the physical skills are really overrated about how hard it is to actually learn hard skills, because it's really not. Like, you hear people like, oh, it's so hard, I want to learn how to sew my clothes, it's so hard to learn how to sew. No, it's not. You just need to want to do it and then spend a couple weekends. Most hard skill set is not that hard to do. The hard thing to do is buckle down and learn it. People put it off, you know. You can learn to do pretty much anything you want to do in about 6 months. The thing you cannot do is have a genuine passion. You either have passion or you don't. You want to hear passion? Help me talk about how important it is to me to get farmers who have no hands able to farm again. It drove me to invent things. That's how passionate I am about it. You want to have initiative or a desire. You want somebody that has initiative. Do they like this enough that they do it on their own? If you ever have an employee say, I love this job so much, I would do it even if I wouldn't get paid. That is mindset. That is passion. You can't teach that. People either have it or they don't. So every one of your dream team is going to have that kind of passion. Okay? Those type of people are always more valuable than somebody that has a high level of skill, but they suck as a person. They're just total jerks. And that jerkiness is what brings your whole group down. So you can't get perfection every time, but you can darn sure bring the best around you. So that's what you're trying to do when you're building a dream team. You want to figure out synergies. There's a lot of different kinds of synergy, but there's the two biggest things that come out when you're working together in long-term projects is the one that happens when people are working together all the time, and the one that people have when they're around each other all the time. They may not be working together, but they're in the same facility, the vicinity of each other, and they freaking can't stand each other. Okay. Some people just don't get along. They just, for whatever reason, they don't get along, and they can work together for short times. But eventually, one of them is going to want to whack the other one over the head with a frying pan. They're going to get on each other's nerves, and they're going to be fighting and screaming and fussing. And then you're going to end up firing both of them. And then you're going to be in your office with your coffee, going, "Why the heck did I fire both of them?" So that's not a dream team, okay? You are going to be working with a bunch of different people, and you need to know how to match them together to see what makes them tick. But you need to make sure that anybody you hire are not opposites, that they don't think dramatically different from the other, because you won't have a dream team. You'll have a fighting war, okay? So when you go in and do your RV, they are looking at you to be on their dream team. And so what they're looking for in you is the exact same thing that you want to be looking for your dream team, okay? They want to see in your documents, are you looking to build something for humanity that's bigger than yourself? It doesn't matter what you've achieved in the past, because in your past, it'll be probably most of the time, it's all on an individual amount. Because you're talking about having a team around you, the RV is gonna know that you're trying to do something bigger than yourself, okay? And when you're working on that level, that's when you're far more likely to create a dream team around you, okay? What people did before they came to work for you, or before they came to work on this project, that is like a reassurance that the guy has the skill, but when you're hiring somebody, you're hiring on the potential of the future growth of your team and the future growth of your humanitarian project. So it's not a matter of what they did on their resume, okay? It's because they're doing that, usually that's individually in the past, okay? What a dream team is what you believe they can achieve together in the future. Will they all work together in the future? So, one of the most difficult things for me to get through a client's head is to not handhold your CEO. Do not micromanage your CEO, okay? Because if you're handholding them and constantly in their face, or you're constantly telling them, do this, do that, do the other, you don't have a dream team because there's no synergy there. There's no trust there. You just have an employee, okay? You have to let your team go and be the best they can, because if you micromanage your team, you are stopping all growth of your company. You're stopping all growth of your humanitarian projects because you're not letting them have any responsibility to do good. You're not letting them have the responsibility of making the tough calls. Okay? The dream team that you want to put together is a team that you know they've got the skill set, and you have the belief in them that they can make the tough calls. You have to give them room when you're starting your projects to choose how they want to do it themselves, because you're going to find out real quick if you let people come up with their own solutions on how to do something. 9 times out of 10, they're going to do things way better than you ever thought about doing it. So just leave them alone. Give them full autonomy. Give them ownership of the project. If you pull all the strings, you're just too deep in a department, and you're going to sink yourself instead of putting wings on the thing. So let them go. That's why I say hire a CEO and let them go. Don't stick your nose in what they're doing, because you're undermining the trust that you say that you have in them. If you tell somebody, hey, look, I'm gonna have you go out and hire the team, and then you call them, hey, who did you hire? What did you do? You're undermining them, you know? Gotta take another sip of coffee. As a team, a dream team works in any direction they see fit. You give them a budget, and let them control their budget, and then let them do their jobs. Because if they really are a dream team, they don't need a manager. They don't need anybody looking over their shoulders every day. They just need, give me the goals, boss, and then let us go. And once you get to that point, that is, it's literally the only, I don't know what riding a surfboard is like, but I can only imagine that you're standing on a surfboard and you must feel the waves, or you must feel some kind of percussion underneath that board that's pulling you. And that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like when you have a dream team, is they're all pulling in the harness, like a bunch of, like the draft horses. You've seen the Budweiser draft horses, where they all take that first step in the harness, and then pretty soon they're all going the same direction and they're all pulling equally, but they could go haywire and go out of that harness any direction they want to, because they've got the power and the strength to do so, but they figure out how to work together. And as a group together, that wagon is nothing. They can pull it no matter what. That's what a dream team does in a humanitarian project. I got all Twitter pated talking about that. It's like, I can't wait to do that again. Ah, it's so fun. It's so fun. Because you get along with everybody, and everybody's ideas, it's like you come up with an idea, and then the other says, "Hey, Park, oh, have you thought about doing this to that?" And it's like, "Oh, snap, that's great." You don't have an ego. The dream team doesn't have an ego with each other. They're all have one focus, and that's do the best job. Okay? And when you're all on that, instead of, I need to buy my power info, I need to build my influence of power, and you build animosity working with each other, that's not a dream team. That's a team from hell. So you want it where you're building on trust with everybody. And it takes time, it takes time. But if in order to build trust, you, the glue that holds your team together is trust. And it really is glue. Because if they can't trust each other to each of them hold their own, part of the road up, they'll play really nice with each other, but they are going to drive you nuts because they're going to be super slow and they're not going to be efficient. Okay? They won't take risks because they don't trust each other. They won't be vulnerable because they don't want to be blamed for everything if something doesn't work out. They don't realize that failure is not a bad thing. It's a learning experience. They won't, because they're afraid to take risks, they won't speak out with any kind of solutions or any kind of suggestions because they're afraid they're going to be, targeted if the thing doesn't work. If they don't trust each other, they're going to avoid doing anything that may put the spotlight on them. If they trust each other, they don't care if they're doing a bad job, if they screw up once. The whole group will rally around them rather than pick on him like a little chicken with the problem on his head, that the chicks peck him till they're dead. That's the difference between a dream team and a regular team. It's a regular team, you always have to manage, you always have to watch over, because they'll attack each other, they'll be selfish, they'll be little power mongols. It's, oh God, I hate that. I hate all that stuff. But if you can build a dream team, oh my God, you can't wait to go to work. You can't wait to see them. It's super, super, super fun. Everything gets going, like the work becomes light because everybody's firing on the same pins. It's super fun. I love business. I love doing all this stuff. It's like I'm talking about this, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to do this again. I didn't realize how much I miss it until I'm sitting here jonesing. That's pretty cool. You're One of the reasons why I tell you to take your project documents to your CEO is because what you're trying to do when you do that with him is you want to see if he's going to commit to your foundation. You want to see if he likes your humanitarian problem and is sees the same way you do, okay? If you don't have that in the CEO, don't hire that CEO. And in turn, as you build your team around you, if they don't have it, don't hire them, because what you're trying to do is a humanitarian project that's bigger than yourselves. And it's probably going to be bigger than most of the people that you're going to interview, the jobs they've had in their past. Okay. And you want them to commit to the team itself and have that purpose, whatever their purpose is. Like, my humanitarian project is to bring med beds to all parts of the world. And when you interview your people, and if they don't have that same common, how do you feel about taking med beds across the world? Oh, well, I would like to do that, but I don't want to go to Australia because, I don't like kangaroos. That's not somebody you hire. If they don't want to be a common committed group working on the same focus, they're not going to be the right team for you, because basically you're all in the same boat. You're just in a different journey. The same same you're all having the same goals in the end. It's just taking different ways to get to those same goals. What you're building is a massive, massive humanitarian project. It's going to fit and help a lot of people, okay? So it's going to take a special kind of dedication, and you're looking to see if those new hires are willing to be dedicated to whatever project or goal you're going to build. So you want what you have is a goalpost that is so huge that a regular team, they're not going to make it. And it's only by putting together a group of people with these the equal but different talents that is going to allow you to go farther than you think. It's like a firing of a cylinder of an engine. Like, one sparks the next, sparks the next, sparks the next. And everyone in the team feels like the team that they're on is a once in a lifetime opportunity, because they just run like a machine. And that is literally the best thing you could ever wish for in your humanitarian project, is for your group to fire on all cylinders, to be. It's like you plan a birthday party, and the team, the team has complete synergy when you say, "Hey, let's have a birthday party for Margaret." And Jim says, "Yeah, I'll bring the cake." Rob says, "I'll bring the forks and plates." And Sheila says, "I'll bring the drinks." You didn't have a sign-up sheet. You guys just know each other's things, that you already know what each is going to do, and they're all on this, they're all invested in making sure that this guy has a good party. It's the same thing that they become invested in the company, because they have the humanitarian project, because they have the same stake in the goal. The goal for that is to put a birthday party on. The goal for the humanitarian project is to bring med beds worldwide. So the right dream team individuals is they're going to want the same thing you want to do, but they have a different skill set than you. And achieving that dream is as important to them as working on a team. I do something. I do something with my group that people that I've disclosed this to a couple of my friends and my business acquaintances, my business friends, and they do not have that kind of situation with the top of the tier teams that they work with. I found out that people really, really like being a part of a successful team. And you can see that when you look at your sports fans. They all wear the colors, they all wear the makeup of whatever sports they're supporting. It's that savoir-faire, it's that sense of belonging, it's that makes you feel like you're a part of a group. So how I've done that, honoring or being able to look at somebody and see what they've done. See, the military does this, and what they do is they give medals, and these medals, they turn them into little stripes and these little multiple colors. I know there's military people out there just groaning, going, "Oh my God, Parker, that's not what they're called." But I'm sorry, military people, I don't know the right names. But they have medals, and these medals turn into little stripes. And each one of those stripes means something. And to the people that are not military, that are not in that tribe, we don't know what the hell those little stripes are. They just look like candy on their uniforms, you know? So I wanted that same thing in my tribe. And so I went to Pandora. And Pandora has these little charms that go on bracelets, and they're unisex. They're for men or women. And what I did is I said, once we, if you're on the team when we do this sale, then the team gets rewarded with this charm. If you were the first person on the first go around of the team, then your first charm was being part of the group. Now, the guys can wear them or they give them to their wives. And what would happen is when we would have company meetings, the year-end parties or a barbecue in the summer, people would wear their bracelets, and it was literally their badge of honor. And you would, if you saw somebody that had the little bumblebee on it, the bumblebee was the busy bee. We had a contract to do a whole bunch of hives for a beekeeper, and that was like the worst client ever. So it was the client was so bad that I gave all the people that worked on that project a bumblebee for their bracelet. And so people would see, as years went by, like I had a couple people that had two bracelets because they had been involved in so many projects. But they would always look for the bumblebee. If you had the bumblebee, you had gone through hell and survived. So it gives people a elite performance group feeling. They see themselves, they recognize like equals like by the badge that they're wearing, which is in that bracelet. I didn't know how to give medals. I didn't know how to give awards. So I did it in the bracelet. And it worked, man. It worked. That people, I would, and see, Pandora has gems that are the little bracelet charms. Some are made out of gold. So some of these projects were just so horrendous that the target for getting the project done is I would post, if we get this done, this is what I will buy all of you. And that little $400 or $500 piece of gold, I had my team just tried to rip each other's heads through the doorway to pull everybody through to get it all done. I mean, they were completely motivated because they knew they could do it, and they all motivated each other to go faster. They see themselves as the elite of the organization, and when they feel that way, the dedication to what they're doing for the project, oh my God, it just gets so much stronger. It's like I've had these teams before. I had an amazing dream team. We were building greenhouses, and we were building greenhouses in another country, and we were having a really hard time with it because of the humidity of the country. And I had one staff member pass out from the humidity, and I gave a little break. I gave a charm for that one job, and that was like, when people saw that on somebody's wrist, it was like, that's legacy. That's long term. I never gave up. I never quit. I did one of the most difficult jobs our company's ever done. And if you do something, it may not be Pandora bracelets, or probably not, but figure out something that you can do that will inspire your dream team, your elite team, so that they feel that they are elite, that they can do, they've got a symbol, a badge of they did the impossible. And you do that enough times, and I'm telling you, the more you do that, the more you have that kind of team skill set, it just gets better and better and better until working is so much freaking fun because you're working with a group of people that are all highly focused on doing whatever it is your project is. It's the everybody feels like it's like horses that draw a wagon, that every horse only stays in the exact same place every time they draw a wagon. When you have a dream team, everybody knows where they stand, where what their part is on the team. And that is the most critical thing is, like, I can grow potatoes and Slick can grow sugarcane. And where the potatoes and the sugarcane meet, we get sweet potatoes. And that's what happens, is that each of your skills make a second thing. And that second thing is, I like sweet potatoes better than I do regular potatoes, and sugarcane's a pain in the butt to eat, but sweet potatoes are easy. So it's knowing that you're a cog in a mechanism, but you're just doing a ex distinct contribution to the job as a whole. So that clarity also. It also brings accountability. If everybody knows what they're expected to do, the payoffs are great. Like, you get sweet potatoes. Okay? I hope that makes sense. I just realized I don't know if that makes sense, people. Everybody on your team is a master at what they're doing. There is no room on a dream team for somebody that pulls their weight half the time. You have to expect a certain amount of competency. They have to be good at what they're doing. You can have a amazing team and one bad apple, and this is a case of one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch. It'll bring down everybody because they can screw up your project super fast. And when you lose that confidence and feeling like you can do it, it's really hard to get it back. So you don't want anybody that isn't extremely competent at their work. You got to give your team all the tools they need. If you're working on a project or you're working on a humanitarian job and they don't have something to help them scale, something to look at, special training, special equipment, you need to provide them a way to make their project bigger. The goals to make their project bigger, because when you start this, you can only do this, you only get one shot to start it. And if you show them the steps to get bigger and bigger and bigger, that allows your team to go way faster. if you don't show how your humanitarian project is going to scale up, it's going to flounder. So part of what you're doing with the dream team is teaching them how to scale, okay? You want to install in them the belief that they can reach, they can go farther than what they already are. They can work together as a team and achieve things that would be very hard to do by yourself. So give them a way to reach. Give them whatever tools they need to get their job done, whether it's special training, special equipment. That the third part of that tool that they need to get their job done with is teammates that know what they're doing. If you've got most of your teammates know what they're doing, and some of them that don't know what you're doing, you're going to sink yourself. That's not a dream team. You're babysitter. When you set up a set of a parameter of what you want to do, basically give your team a little discipline. I expect you to do it this way. When you, now I don't mean discipline as in you're a bad person. I mean, this is how you've got to get it done, and you've got to get it done in this order first. Once everybody in your team understands the discipline of what they're doing, it allows all of them to be more strategic with their time. So if you tell them, hey, we've got to have this project done by, in 2 months, 19 days, get it done, and then leave them alone. That gives them the goal, and they must discipline themselves to meet that goal. If they don't, they're not part of your dream team. They're just somebody that needs a babysitter. Okay. The people that work together with you the most are going to be the ones that will, if they're on a time crunch, they're going to be very strategic with their time. And a lot of times when they're strategic with their time, they're working with each other in the group, and they're moving together as a unified source to the same goal. What am I talking about? You want to hire a CEO, okay? And you tell your wealth management, this is your dream team. You tell your wealth management, hey, I need to have a CEO in here, a new CEO in here by in the next 3 weeks. So that's all you say. Amanda is a headhunter. She knows this guy to bring in. Jill is another headhunter. She knows this girl to bring in. They're not talking to each other. They don't need to, because they all know what needs to be done, and they're all pulling their best person in to come interview with me, and they're splitting the work amongst three or four different headhunters. Super strategic. They get all their work done in far less time because they've split it and they've made it less for one person. So it's about getting them to move in unison. When you've got Usually what happens with headhunter girls like that is they get bickering with each other because they get paid for having a placement. But if they're working as a team, they don't care who gets the person. They don't care who gets the bonus for finding a hire. They don't care because the goal overall is worth sacrificing the commission of finding one person. They know that, that headhunter got this person for us. I will probably be the next person to get a new person for us. There's a freedom in it, because once you know that your team is going to make it happen as per the way it's supposed to happen, you're going to end up spending more time enjoying your life, because if you don't have them set for the goals, you're going to end up spending time making sure things don't fall apart rather than making sure things are working. So give them a goal, be strict on it, have discipline on it, because once they know the parameters of what they can do and they have no bars on them, that is actual real freedom for them, because they can work in whatever context you want to make for them. But if you don't give them the discipline and the goal set of what you're doing, they can't reach that. So the last thing is difficult to hear. Your dream team is only as strong as your leader. This is the reason why I started out this conversation with how to build your brain, how to think better. It's because if you can't do that as a leader, you're not going to be able to build a team that can work with you like that. Your vision will turn into a nightmare. So you may realize that you are not a leader, you are not a shot caller, and that's okay. Hire somebody that is. Because if you don't have a good leader, and if that good leader is not you, all those high quality dream team people, they'll leave you. If they don't feel like leadership is up to what they think is a good leader, they'll go someplace else. The reality of it is that kind of high level person, they're not leaving their company, they're leaving you. So when you're planning your dream team, when you're planning how to go with a group of people that you have such synergy with, all of that comes from the top. That comes from you and your management team. That's why you have to get a management team that you trust. And, like I said, a transition team will help you, but you want to find a group that you work with high synergy. And those people you'll have, like one of my persons that I work with for over 10 years, even though we have not worked together in 5 years, I called him and said, "Hey, I'm gonna have money again. What do you feel about working?" And he's like, "I'll quit my job right now, Park." That's one of my dream team guys. He just makes it happen. And the synergy of working with these people were amazing, amazing, amazing. Unfortunately, I'm old now. And so some of the people that I worked with for years, two of them have passed away. But they're done. So it's going to be really interesting for me to build a dream team out of young people now, but I will do it. That's pretty much the best advice I can give you to build yourself an amazing team that can take your humanitarian projects worldwide. But that's what you're looking for, folks. You're looking for That's what you're looking for in your personal dream team. And they will fill all the gaps that you have, and you will fill the gaps that they have, and then the synergy that starts is just awesome. It's the best thing ever. So I hope that helps. I hope you learned something from this. Do you have any questions?
I got to tell you that I have tears in my eyes and I'm so thankful for you. You don't even know, and I don't want to be like this, but this is so powerful and huge what you shared, because I've been going around in circles in my mind saying I have to have it together. I need to do all the things you're saying. And I've written my first journal with you in it, and I really appreciate it. And the last question I want to ask you is, do you take your personal assistant when you have meetings with your wealth manager?
I have no choice because of my disability. I believe that you should, but I have no choice. I have to take my assistant goes with me everywhere because of my disability.
Okay.
I feel like if I didn't have this weirdo thing, then I would take my personal assistant with me all the time. My personal assistant, you know what a personal assistant is for? They arrange your calendar. They are your ear flap. So what's an ear flap? In order to talk to you, they have to go through your personal assistant. So you have to be very careful with choosing a personal assistant because that person has a lot of power over who gets to talk to you. It doesn't come into play so much if you're only meeting with your group once a week. But if you're one of those that, hey, I want to be hands-on in my company, then yeah, that personal assistant can make you or break you. You got to be super careful with who you hire.
Okay.
So the projects that I have, I am going to have CEOs for four of the projects I'm going to do. I'm not going to touch them. I'm just going to have meetings once a week with the team and let these guys go. My focus is in the inventions that I've been working on. I have to finish these inventions. One of the inventions is required to finish my pots. So I'm looking at a team of inventors. I'm putting together a team of inventors to work on this. So it's funny talking about all this because this is exactly what I'm about to do.
You have passion. I
Oh yeah, I do.
it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That is true.
Make
But
not want to you want to make me run the marathon right now. You know what I mean? And it's contagious and I love it and thank you. I love you to death.
well, that's perfect because my goal is to kick you into the I want you guys to be my tools. I want you to be the tools in building the biggest humanitarian projects you can possibly bring to heal and help as many people as you can, either nationally, globally, or if you only get chicken and just do state. But be bigger than you are. Dream big. Dream bigger than you ever thought you could dream because you are not here by accident. I believe that you're sitting here listening to this because God put you in this room or God put you to listen to this. You have it in you to do this. You just have to have somebody tell you you can do it because you can. I've taught people how to run really big companies, and some of them were idiots. Some of them I was like, oh, this is going to be a long time to get this done. And they picked it up, they got it, and they ran. Most of the companies that I helped start, they were in business until COVID hit. Almost 80% of the companies I helped start, they went out of business during COVID. And there's nothing they did wrong. It was just the government wouldn't let them do any business and they went under. But it's just super, super, super fun to have. It feels like you're riding a dragon because it's so much fun and it's so freaking scary. And you don't want to get singed by the flame, but you gotta fly right up to it. And once you let go of that fear of flying, once you let go of having failure and any of that kind of stuff, you take off and it's just wonderful. I want that for all of you. I want all of you to have that amazing dream team underneath you because a team that is working like that underneath you, you guys can do 10 times more than what you think you can do by yourself. So don't be afraid to plan to be way bigger than you think you're going to be because you're going to figure out, like, you'll start these companies. Most companies, people, the biggest, here, I'll tell you something else. One of the biggest comments that struck me the most that have stuck with me and with my crazy memory for me to remember this is really, it's like speaks to how important it is. One of the biggest things I've ever was has been told, and I got told this by many, many, many different people, I wish I had done this bigger because it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And after I got involved in it, to hire more people or bring people on to make it bigger was, going to be annoying for some people. It just didn't work as well. I wish I'd have thought bigger. because you're right, it does work. Business is all about, and humanitarian projects are all about knowing what to do and knowing how to get it done and knowing who to call to get it done. This is why having a wealth management team is so critical. Is those guys are going to teach you this. You're going to need your wealth management team like forever. Like you're going to be they're going to basically be holding you up the first year. And as you get better in what you're doing and you learn how to do these things and you accept the responsibility, like, what do you mean respect the responsibility? I accept the responsibility. No, you don't. Every single person, when they get this kind of big money, you're going to go through these feelings of feeling like a fraud. I'm not kidding. You're going to feel like, I don't deserve this. I'm not really this kind of person. I can't do this. And you have to handle that because you actually are this kind of person. You actually can do this.
Parker.
The media and the people have built up big business, built up big humanitarian companies, built these people up to make it sound like they have some kind of special trick. No, they don't. All they have is they know how to use the support that they can get, which is wealth management teams, which is entertainment people, which is whatever skill set that you can think of, they have it. That's the only difference between being really, really great or just somebody who's struggling is once you know how to use all these services, you do not have to be smart. You do not have to be anything except working one day a week with your management team and figuring out the best procedures for things to do, and they'll help you do it. You'll know in your gut if it's right or not because it'll make sense. You just need somebody to help you get started with your first or second company, and then after that, it gets fun. The fear factor is gone. The oh my God, is this actually going to work is gone because you've proven it and it's wonderful. I'm sorry, I get carried away. So, did anybody have any other questions?
I have one more and then I'll shut up. So what do you think about, I've heard a lot of like these private wealth management teams under everything's under one house. Like I've heard about Sparks, I've heard about different things. What do you think about like what is your feeling on all these different people we hear about? Should we wait to go to the meeting and see, what the real team is? You know what I mean?
You're going to have to call that on your own.
Yeah.
I have a CEO I'm going to hire. So
Right.
I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to hire my mentor. He doesn't know it yet. He's going to
Mm.
be old. Yeah, my mentor is worth a considerable amount of money and he doesn't believe in any of this currency, none of this stuff. And he is put four companies pre-IPO and post-IPO. He's international and he's the one that's taught me to think the way I think. So he told me, he said, if you're right about this currency, I'll come work for you. And I said, really? Are you sure? And he goes, yeah. He says, you're not right. And I go, okay. And he would work for me because what I want to do is something that he wants to help save the reefs and do all the same kind of things I do. So it's, I can't wait. I cannot wait to make that phone call.
That's awesome. So I'm going to think bigger than Sparks for sure, but I just threw that out there.
Yep, think big.
Thanks.
So, anybody else have a comment or question? Well, folks, I guess I'm going to close this audio. For those of you that are having a listen and were in this original channel, thank you for spending your time with me. My goal is to help you be the very best humanitarian you can be and getting as much tools to you, business tools, so that you can excel in any of this that you're trying to do. There is a possibility that they're not going to ask us for these kind of documents at the time of the RV, just know that at some point you're going to be interviewing with a wealth management team, and they're going to need this exact same information. They're going to interview you. So just keep positive and have an open mind when you go into the RV. Nobody knows what's going to happen in there. We've been told all kinds of things. Just know this, you're walking out with money. You're going to get your dreams, and nothing else matters. You're going to be the best humanitarian you can be. You're going to help the rest of us heal the world. Pretty cool, Patriot. Thank you very, very much. God bless you. And may you be the best humanitarian that God will allow you to be.